If people are used to getting out of church at 11:30, they don't care if you preach 20 minutes or 59 minutes. You'd better be done at 11:30. Minutes are important stuff. We are thankful to be here this morning, thankful for the invitation, great privilege to bring the Word of God. We have been getting up for the last 15 years and representing the congregation the Lord had set us over. And about 2 months ago, the Lord changed our zip code. And we're still serving the same Lord, still preaching the same truth, just with a different congregation. And Brother Asbury said he didn't do this, but when I went to Wauseon, I told him I wasn't Brother Jones. Brother Jones and I look so much alike, I didn't want people... I didn't want there to be any confusion who the pastor was. If I counted right and haven't missed anybody, I think it was about 14 from Wauseon up here. Thank the Lord for them. One character from the church hadn't originally planned on being here this morning. And when he heard I was only going to have 35 minutes to preach last night, he said, I'm staying around to see if you can do it. I would tell you his name, but I don't want to embarrass Brother Bourne. But it's good to be here. I was also being thankful for the ordination that's going to take place. Sometimes we think that doesn't happen enough, but it actually happens every time God wants it to. He's in control. But in the flesh, I'm thankful for the ordination because some of the southern preachers have a tendency to slip away, and maybe the ordination has kept some of them around a little bit longer. Might be possible. I thought about southern preachers. I love them. You got to love them. But you know, a southern preacher, first 100 miles from home, just can't help but glance up in that rearview mirror. I mean, when they're heading north, it's just a natural thing. Second 100 miles from home, kind of a wipe away the tear. Once they get 300 miles from home, it's just constantly. And if you'll notice, most of these southern preachers, their wives do all the driving. That's because it's so dangerous once they get this far north. Some of my dearest friends in the ministry are south of the border. And we love them in the Lord and say all that in jest. I want to take your Bibles with me this morning. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And for the sake of time, I'd just like to read verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And we know that our God is eternal. Our God is everlasting. He had no beginning and He'll have no end. He's always been. But as far as you and I are concerned, everything evolves around time.
Yeah.
And that's what this passage of Scripture so eloquently places before us. God started it in the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth, and that's where time, and that's where the earth, and that's where history, as far as you and I comprehend it, that's where it started. And the Bible tells us there will be an end to that. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And human time will end and eternity will just continue. In this first verse, we're told that everything has a season. Every purpose has a time. To every season, to every time, there is a beginning and there is an ending. Everything about this life evolves around those two things. Our lives, our spiritual lives, churches, everything. And this morning I want to preach, by the grace of God, on a message that has touched my heart even before I've ever preached it, and I've entitled this message, The End. The End. I think many times we as God's people and we as the Lord's churches lose sight of the end. We forget that everything about this life will have an end. I believe the more you think about the end, the more it will impact the in-between that Brother Asbury preached about. Continuing. We need to continue. We need to continue. Why? Because one day there's going to be an end to all this. It doesn't matter how far we've gone if we have quit. We've not gone the course. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and many mistakes in my ministry. And many times it evolves around the fact that I don't keep the end in sight. Get too focused on the here, too focused on the now. Too focused on here. So I want us to think about the end. Tell you what, you really start thinking about the end of things, it'll have an impact on your life. I believe the Apostle Paul lived this way. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter. Verse number 14. Philippians 3, verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul was a man who was mindful of the end. He preached to the Ephesian elders there in the book of Acts about the end of his ministry with them. And he said, I've done what I was sent to do. I've been faithful to the Lord. I've preached the whole counsel of God. Paul was a man who was mindful of the end. And I think we need to be more mindful of the end. So many things that we'd like to say. So many other things could be added to our introduction. We'll pass those and get right into the things of this life that'll have an end. Let's first of all consider relationships. Relationships will all have an end. If the Lord Jesus Christ does not return and time progresses and time marches on, all of the relationships we have and all of the relationships we enjoy, they're going to end one day. And we do a lot better at those relationships, and we would be a lot better participants in those relationships if we think about the end a whole lot more.
Amen.
First one that I have here is our marital relationship. Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come. Let's wake up, folks, husbands and wives. Let's wake up and realize there may come a day when we're going to say goodbye to our dear spouse, and we're going to say goodbye to our wife, and we're going to say goodbye to our husbands.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And the problem with many marriages is we're not thinking about that day. We're thinking about here and now, and we're thinking about winning the victory, and we're thinking about winning the fight, and we're thinking about being the top dog, and we're thinking about the wrong things instead of thinking about the day when our spouse has to bury us. For a marriage to work, you have to cherish your partner. And if you don't have the end in view, you're not going to cherish them. If you dare to assume you've got all the time in the world, you're not going to cherish your spouse. Every day that goes by, I love my wife more. And I appreciate her more. And I'm ashamed more of the husband that I've been. And I think more about the day when she'll be taken. Or I'll be taken. And she'll go on. I think about how she'll think about me and I think about wanting to be everything I ought to be as a husband. I look at young married couples and I see the struggles and I see I want to be in charge and I see the tug of wars. I think how sad. They just don't realize that one day you're going to bid that spouse goodbye. I remember how it was when I was first married. If you got into a tiff, you got into a fight, you could stay mad for days. You had to be the winner. And we still get in those tiffs. We've been married 23 years. And she's here, so I have to be honest. And the Lord's here, I'd be honest anyways, but... No, the older we get, the whole lot harder it is to keep those things prolonged. Especially when you're a pastor. People just have no understanding of what a pastor's wife goes through. People say, is it hard to move? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to move, but it's many times harder on a preacher's wife. I tell you what, we need to take inventory of our marital relationships. We have a lady in our church, a dear lady, who's here today. I don't want to embarrass her, but many years ago, her and her husband were laboring in Wauseon, Ohio. Her husband was the pastor. And together they drew up the plans for the home that I'm living in right now. And they broke ground, and within days he died. Never got to live in that home. She lost her dear husband. I remember bringing home Rebecca from the hospital, bringing her into the house for the first time, and before we could even get settled in, having to go and tell my wife that Sister Gormley had died. The only pastor's wife she'd ever known. I've known Brother Roger Jones all the life I remember and have memory. He knows what it's like to lose a spouse. You know, that day is going to come for all of us. It might not be by sudden death. It might not be by a tragedy. It may be by natural causes, as we say. But that day is inevitable if Jesus Christ does not come.
Amen, brother.
I thought of Brother Connors, and Brother Connors is going through that right now. And I'm not as close to the Connors or have been around the Connors as much as some of you, but I've watched them and I've observed them, and oh, how lovingly they are towards each other. One with the other. I don't remember rarely ever seeing them apart. And now if the Lord does not intervene, He's going to come to the point where He's going to have to cross the road where He says goodbye to that dear wife of His. Folks, that's going to happen to all of us. Young or old, cherish your spouse. Love your spouse. Look at your spouse and cherish her and cherish him with the end in mind, because the end could come tomorrow. We need to live with no regrets. Live with no regrets. Then I think about the parental relationship. You know, the parental relationship's not forever. It comes to an end as children grow and spread their wings and go out on their own. And it ends when we say goodbye to parents. People say, "What's wrong with our young people?" Nothing wrong with our young people. The problem is with our old people. The problem is parents have lost sight of the end. They've lost sight of their purpose as parents, and they're more concerned with being their child's friend, and they're more concerned with their child being, quote, well thought of, and they're more concerned with their child having self-esteem and being successful here. They have forgotten. We're not raising children. We're raising adults. We're raising the next generation of Baptists. We have forgotten what it's all about. I hear parents, and I'm just so sick of hearing parents saying, "I can't make my child do this, and I can't make my child do that." Why can't you? If you can't, why did God even give those kids parents? I can't make my child. That's what parents are all about. Do you make your child go to school?
Yeah.
Well, of course. If I don't do that, the government's going to get all over me.
Yeah.
Well, are you more afraid of the government than you are of God?
Amen.
Oh, we'll jump when the government says jump, but we'll say, "I'm not going to make my child do that. I'm not going to tell my child that they can't dress ungodly. I'm not going to tell my little daughter she can't wear breeches and her short skirts. I'm not going to tell her that." I wish they'd be honest and simply say, "I won't tell them that."
Yeah.
Because it's not a question of can, it's a question of won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't tell my child they can't go to the movies. I won't tell my child they can't go to the prom. I won't tell my child they can't do this and they can't do that. Well, who's going to tell them? We need to get the focus off of being our children's friends and get the end in mind. There's going to be a time when they turn 18.
Amen.
There's going to be a time when they leave the roost.
That's right.
And what will be your finished product? The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. We've lost sight of that. We're raising children and then we're releasing children who are used to being catered to and coddled and given everything, and they go through life thinking that's the way it's supposed to be. There are parents who feel as though the word no shouldn't be in their vocabulary. The problem with our society is parents, not kids. These tragedies in our schools. And inevitably you ask the question, where are the parents? They're almost always missing. Too busy making their money. Child spends all of its early years going from one daycare to another daycare, one stranger's hands to another stranger's hands. Mom and dad are so consumed with making money, somebody else is raising the children. And then when they get old enough, television becomes the babysitter. And mom and dad are doing all their things, and the little child sitting at home in front of a television screen, in front of a video game. Many times parents don't even know where those kids are. The problem's not with our children or our young people, it's with us parents. One day they're no longer going to be under our responsibility. There's an end coming to when we're not going to be able to have any control. We need to take the end into mind. Let me say this to children. One day the parental relationship's going to end for you. You take for granted mom and dad are always going to be there. I'm here to tell you, mom and dad's not always going to be there. There's coming a day, young person, you're going to walk down in front of a church, or you're going to go into a funeral home, and you're going to see your mom, and you're going to see your dad laying there in a casket, and you're not going to be able to change anything at that moment. Now's the time for kids, and now's the time for children to appreciate mom and dad and all that they've done and all that they're doing. And stop rebelling and stop giving trouble and stop having conflict and respect and submit to. The older I get, the more I appreciate my parents. And they're 70 now. And if the Lord doesn't come, folks, I'm going to have to say goodbye to them.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be any regrets.
Amen.
I don't want to have to go up to a casket and say, I'm sorry. There's an end, folks. And our relationships are precious things. And if we get the end in mind, oh, how much more precious now would be. I remember my grandma and grandpa Farley. And I still think about them regularly. And all what I'd give to be able to talk to grandma. One of the last things I remember Grandma saying to me at Huron River Drive, New Boston, Michigan. I believe it was just me and her there in her little room. She said, Randy, you stick with your preaching. Stick with your preaching. And oh, I wish I could have been there when she died. Oh, well, couldn't have done anything. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have told her that I really understood how precious relationships are.
Yeah.
You know, I've preached funerals. It's so sad. When the funeral director or some member of the family has to take you aside and say, no, you have to be careful. Because this side of the family isn't talking to this side of the family. And this child doesn't get along with that child. And there was problems between this parent and their children. Isn't that sad?
Amen.
That when the end of relationship comes, when we can't do anything about it, We finally understand how precious these things are. Then there's personal relationships. You know, true friendship is rare and precious.
Amen.
You've got a friend that's dear to you. Cherish them. Don't take them for granted. Because friendships end too. See, I don't have time to look at all the way things end. You and I understand. They just end. Different ways, but they end. And if you've got a friend, God has given you something special. Cherish that friend. Cherish them. Go to them. Tell them how much they mean to you. Then there's spiritual relationships. Isn't God good to us? Doesn't matter if you got brothers and sisters or not. Doesn't matter if you was an only child, if you're a child of God. You got brothers and sisters everywhere. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a Christian?
Amen.
To look at this auditorium and this congregation and say, they're family.
Yes, amen.
They're family.
Amen.
And folks, we do not cherish each other like we should. And I do not cherish you as I should. And we just assume and we just take for granted that next year the conference will be held. We'll see each other again. But we may not. We may never see each other again. I know he's with the Lord and I wouldn't bring him back for everything the world has to offer. But I will be honest with you this morning. I still mourn the loss of Brother Harvey. Brother Smith, you're not the only one who's got pictures in your office. And I go in there and I've got Brother Harvey over there on a shelf tape set that Brother Sinek them sent us. I got his picture sitting up there and I got a picture of him and Sister Harvey and got a picture that was taken up here. I think Brother Dean Smith sent that to me. Old Brother Harvey. Singing and praising the Lord. You know, Brother Harvey was a dear friend to me. He did more for this young preacher than anybody will ever know. Brother Harvey talked to you like an equal. And I can hear his laugh and the motions of his body all the time. And I can remember him getting up real close to me and saying, "Now, Brother Randy, I'll be blunt with you. I went to some conferences just because I knew Brother Harvey was being there, was going to preach, and he always had time to talk to me. And I could unload. I could open up to him like no one else I can remember. Isn't that a precious relationship? But it came to an end, didn't it? All of our spiritual relationships can end. You know, we need a whole lot less squabbling and a whole lot more love amongst God's people. You know, there's a difference between contending and being contentious. And God has not called us to be contentious. He's called us to contend. And we can contend for the faith and still love one another. And we need to cherish the relationships we have. Not only do relationships end, but ministries end. Pastors leave. There's a time. Wes Milton has a tape, videotape, of a message Brother Harvey preached, I think it was in 98. And I pulled that out when the Lord was dealing with me about leaving Wes Milton. And the message was, God's man for God's hour. So God has his man. God has his place. God has his hour. And ministries end. Ministries end. And pastors need to be very careful that they make full proof of their ministry. I told Wes Milton and I told Wasion the same thing. I'm going to pastor with the last day in mind. I want to leave with no regrets. I want to leave saying I've preached the whole thing. I want to be friends and I want to love my people. But I'm not going to let friendship and I'm not going to let my love interfere with what I know I need to preach. And if God removes me tomorrow, as He removed me from West Milton, I want to be able to leave with a conscience that is clear and say, like Paul did to the Ephesian elders, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
It's not about a salary. It's not about making money. It's not about being comfortable and being prepared for retirement. It's about serving the Lord with all that we've got.
Amen.
So if our ministry ends tomorrow,
Amen.
We'll have made full proof of it.
Yes.
Because the Lord is the one who brings it to the end. We need to be laboring. Laboring for that hour. Many years ago, I used to think of my uncle as very strict, rigid, narrow man. But you know, he's not any of those things. God has blessed me with not only having him as an uncle, as a brother in Christ, as a fellow preacher, but he's my friend. And oh, so many years went by when we didn't have close contact. Oh, I cherish the contact now. And it's not my job to defend Don Titus, but I'll defend him anyways. I've learned this about Brother Don Titus. He takes pastoring seriously.
Amen.
He takes the ministry seriously. And he's not rigid and he's not narrow. He's a man who I have come to appreciate. He's a man who I've come to learn is pastoring and serving the Lord with the end in mind. He wants to finish his task here on earth with a conscience that is clear and have the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
I've never known a man who takes it as serious as this man. What a blessing it is to know him as well as I do now. I love you. Pastors move. To church members, appreciate your pastor. You don't know how long God's going to leave him. Appreciate him. It may be in God's plan that tomorrow will be the end of his ministry with you. Don't wait until that day to cry. Don't wait until that day to say how much you appreciate him. Appreciate him every day you have him as a pastor. Appreciate him for all that he goes through. Folks, pastors move. Pastors die. Pastors fail, sadly to say. When was the last time, church member, you went to your pastor and you said, "I love you"? Well, we pay his salary. That doesn't prove your love for him. That's your obligation to him. Well, we do this for him and we give him this. That doesn't prove your love to him. That's token. Go to your pastor and say, "I appreciate you." See, something that happens in our Baptist churches is we pass everything off to this thing called the church. If somebody's in needy, the church needs to do something. Pastor has a need. The church needs to do something. Well, who is the church? It's people. And yes, the church should act. But act as individuals. Don't just tell your pastor you love him through the institution. Tell him face to face, hand to hand, arm to arm. Because that pastoral relationship could end. Not only do pastors leave, but members leave. Church member, when you leave the church where you are, how much will you be missed? Will they say, whew, one less problem. Lord took that piece of dead wood away. Or will your church weep and remember? And if it be by death, will you, being dead, yet speak? What kind of church member are you? What kind of church member are we? May come a time when the Lord removes us from the church we're a member of. Will we be missed at all? Churches cease. The Lord has promised His church perpetuity, but He hasn't promised every church perpetuity. And the church you're a member of may not be here a year from now. Appreciate your church. Thank God for it. And I'm done. You know, dreams and desires come to an end. Doesn't matter how bad you want it, God might close the door to it. You'd better have a contingency plan. And that contingency plan better be trust and faith in God.
Amen.
Don't build your life around a dream. Because if God closes and God shuts the door to that dream, you're going to be hurting. Build your life upon the Lord. Put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because dreams and desires come to an end. You might want something with all you've got to want it. And God might say no. Dreams come to an end. Nations come to an end. Folks, George Bush isn't our Savior. And God may stay His hand, but folks, the United States is going down the tubes and it's going fast. And God tells us in His Word that He rises nations up and He brings nations down. And all nations that forget God will be cast into hell. And we've forgotten God. This nation is not a Christian nation. And we assume we'll be here another 200 years from now. The Lord doesn't come. And another 200 years come and go, I don't seriously think the United States is going to be here like we know it. You know, the world's going to come to an end. There's a new heaven and there's a new earth coming. There's a time that God created it and His Word sustains it. But He's also going to judge it. And He's also going to destroy it. Well, if all you've got to hold on is this world, you're in big trouble. Lost friend, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, all you've got is this world. And it's going to end one day. It's all going to be turned to ash. All going to be gone. Lost friend, you better be holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right now, you better let go of the world and the things of this world. See yourself as a lost, undone sinner before God and run to the Lord Jesus Christ. This world's not ours to save either. I've said this a couple times lately. We need to be good stewards, but folks, God hadn't placed us here to save this earth. And these environmentalists and these worm worshipers and tree huggers and all the bunch that is out there need to realize God is in control.
Amen.
Life's going to come to an end. We all know the little phrase, the little ditty, only one life so quickly it'll pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. What kind of spiritual legacy are you leaving? kind of spiritual legacy am I leaving? We're going to die one day. You know, the Bible's full of epitaphs. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What's your spiritual epitaph? Folks, everything comes to an end. Are we living our life with the end in mind? Or are we too nearsighted to cherish the things God's given us? We need to wake up. Because it could all end tomorrow. It could end before we get out of here today. Are you ready for the end?